Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jim Polzini of the State Journal joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. You can find him on Twitter at Jim Polzine, P-O-L-Z-I-N-W-S-J. And that, again, is on Twitter. Jim, how you doing?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
I am doing well. So now we just circle that date up there in Minnesota for Paul Bunyan's axe, and all is right with the world now, right?
Yeah, it certainly appears that that's for all the money for the West Division title. I don't anticipate either Wisconsin or Minnesota having trouble this weekend. So it sets up to be one of the bigger axe rivalry games in really quite some time. It's rare that these guys are playing for anything but the axe. Now they're playing for a division title.
Does what happened to Minnesota this past weekend, was anything via Minnesota exposed that Iowa did to them that Penn State, say, couldn't? Because I thought Penn State was going to go in there and get the win. I think Penn State went in with the attitude of, it's Minnesota, they're traditionally not good, we should just walk in and be able to get this one, and they were punched in the nose and didn't have a response. But Iowa certainly did. So tell me, is there something that Iowa exposed that we would then look forward to say, okay, this is what the Badgers can do?
I don't necessarily think so. I actually watched the Minnesota-Iowa game and came away just as impressed by Minnesota in a loss as I did in a win the previous week. I just think Kinnick Stadium is never an easy place to play, and Iowa's usually good for kind of one signature victory at home a year, and that was probably it Saturday. They just, you know, those two teams that are pretty physical and play each other tough. I still think Minnesota's probably better than I thought it was going to be this year. So many weapons. I mean, a big offensive line, a really accurate quarterback, a good running game, two really top-notch receivers, two of the better receivers in the Big Ten, if not beyond. The defense is probably a little bit better than I thought. So, you know, year three of the P.J. Fleck era, he's probably got this thing going a little quicker than people thought. But I think they're legit. I really think they're, you know, a top 15 type team in the country.
So what have the Badgers done since that Ohio State debacle that has rebounded to make you think, well, if they get this win, then, and they go to play for the Big Ten championship, most likely against Ohio State again, that they would, in the second time around, have that legitimate shot?
Yeah, I don't know that there's anything that gives me reason. I really don't think there's anything that gives me reason to believe that they're any closer to beating Ohio State. And I think that says as much about Ohio State as Wisconsin. I just think Ohio State's head and shoulders above the rest of the conference. And you know, I think Wisconsin's got a little bit better. I think the one thing that's encouraging since those back-to-back losses is that the running game is back on track. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's really been running the ball well, and a lot of that has to do with the guys in front of them. I think they've figured some things out on the offensive line. And so they, you know, they're able to control the ball a little bit better and gain yardage on the ground. So I think, you know, maybe that's an encouraging sign. Maybe you can run the ball a little bit better against Ohio State and hold on to the ball longer. I think the fewer possessions you have in that game, you know, the better chances you have of making it a four-quarter game and maybe putting some pressure on Ohio State. I mean, they're playing for a lot. They're playing for a national title at this point. So if you can get them in a close game somehow and just kind of put the heat on them, maybe that changes things. But again, I just think the talent disparity between Ohio State and everyone else in the league is pretty significant.
Well, here's my question, because you say the run game got back on track, and I completely agree with you, but where it really needed to shine the most, it didn't. Does that say something more about the talent up front that Ohio State will say had, or and maybe the offensive line just had a bad day? Or is it the fact that there was an overwhelming amount of talent on the field over in Columbus versus what the Badgers were able to take over there?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it wasn't just one game. Illinois, Wisconsin didn't run the ball consistently. There was troubles earlier against Northwestern. Some teams have just had, you know, better luck against Wisconsin stopping the run. And I think some of it was, you know, when you talk to the guys that was on the Wisconsin offensive line and Paul Christ and Joe Rudolph, they felt like they were close. They felt like there was, you know, one guy not doing his job on a certain play, and that you know, caused the play to get derailed. So I do think they've stuck with the same line since then. I think those guys are getting better as a group and kind of trusting, you know, those around them. And so that's why I say there's encouragement. I think running for 250, Taylor going for 250 yards against Iowa was big, because teams just don't do that to Iowa. But I do think Ohio State's another notch above Iowa in terms of stopping the run. I mean, that defensive line starts with Chase Young. That front seven is really good at Ohio State, so good that I think Ohio State essentially said, we're not going to commit much of our secondary to stopping the run, because we think the front seven can handle it on its own. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about the secondary falling for play action fake, because they're attached to the Wisconsin receivers and letting the front seven kind of do its job. And it worked. I think you got to make them pay for that strategy. You got to complete passes downfield. You got to open things up a little bit. And it was not able to happen in Columbus.
I also wanted to ask you that when you look at what this Badger team is moving forward in far as bowl games, because we're talking about a lot of different bowl games that are being brought up as to where they could or could not end up. If they should end up getting beat by Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, Penn State is still a very viable team. Would Penn State or Wisconsin end up out in the Rose Bowl, do you think?
Well, it really comes down to who's higher in the final playoff rankings, and there's a lot of variables that go into it. How impressive is Wisconsin? You know, we're assuming Wisconsin would beat Minnesota in this scenario. How impressive is that victory? Does Ohio State blow out Penn State? You know, is that a factor? I mean, if Ohio State can do that and create some separation there, I think it would be big. And then I think Wisconsin can't go into Indy against Ohio State and get blown out either. I think that would have to be a game. So ultimately, you'd have probably an 11 or a 10-2 Penn State versus a 10-3 Wisconsin. And it's tough to say, you know, where that would, you know, who wins that battle. I mean, essentially, you look at those records, and that's one more loss for Wisconsin, but it also played Ohio State an extra time. So I don't know how the playoff committee would kind of view that. I think you can make an argument that, hey, Wisconsin's the division winner. It probably deserves the, in case of a tie with Penn State, it deserves the nod because it won its division. But again, it's up to the committee kind of to where that falls. And I think it really comes down to, you know, this weekend, how close can Penn State keep that game against Ohio State? And then if Wisconsin ends up in the Big Ten title game, how close can that game be? The funny thing is, this is going to sound bizarre, but had Minnesota won at Iowa last weekend, and then Wisconsin would go in and beat an undefeated Minnesota team the final week of the regular season, you know, that would still mean Minnesota going to the Big Ten title game by virtue of its one loss. But you'd be looking at a 10-2 Wisconsin team with a pretty impressive resume, one less loss on its total, even though it didn't make it to the Big Ten title game. You wonder where it would be ranked in the final rankings, because it'd be a red-hot team, I think, four straight wins to end the season. So I was kind of thinking that during the Minnesota-Iowa game the other day, is should Wisconsin fans really be cheering for Minnesota in this scenario, because you just never know what the committee's going to do.
All right. Talking with Jim Polzina of the Wisconsin State Journal. Before I let you go, big win by Wisconsin over Marquette this past weekend, 77-61. They ended up knocking off the Golden Eagles on the Kohl Center court. Now they've got UW Green Bay coming up. So you tell me, where do you think this Badgers team is? Because obviously they have sustained a tragedy in the offseason. They're doing everything they can to kind of rally themselves as a close-knit family around this and not allow all those questions and all that, kind of scab being torn off every time they go into a different city, to have all the different questions posed to them, kind of reliving it over and over again. But how is this team moving forward, and what are the expectations legitimately?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job of handling the tragedy overall, and I think I haven't noticed any reluctance to talk about it. I think they actually, it's sort of a healing mechanism to talk about it and be upfront and honest about it. So I think in some ways that helps to kind of get it out there, and I don't think they mind the questions. I do think the chemistry is really good on this. The culture is really good on this team. I think Greg Gard likes that. I think what we saw Sunday is what Wisconsin could be. And I don't know how good Marquette is. I really don't. I think it's way too early. But I think when you look at Wisconsin, they talked a lot about this going into the season. They thought they had a pretty balanced group. And that showed Sunday when they had put six guys in double figures. last year against Marquette, Ethan Happ scored 34 points. The rest of his teammates scored a combined 35. It was very much a one-man show. And on Sunday, it was very different. You know, you had six guys between 10 and 15 points. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of nights this season where they have six guys in double figures, but I do think there's going to be nights where they have four and five guys. And I think at the end of the year, you're going to be looking at a pretty balanced scoring. And I think getting Micah Potter, whenever they get him off, you know, out of NCAA prison, basically, I think that only helps to get some more depth and another guy that can beat you inside and outside. So I think they like the way they're headed. They would like to have that St. Mary's game back, but in a lot of ways that taught them a lot about kind of what you need to do in close games and how you need to play on both ends of the floor. And I think they're encouraged. I mean, I picked them to finish sixth at the beginning of the season in the Big Ten. I still feel pretty good about that. I think they could really go as high as four, maybe. I think it's an NCAA tournament team until I see different. You just got to do what they did Sunday is what they could be, but you really got to do that night in and night out. You got to do it on the road in Big Ten play, and we'll see if they can sustain that.
Jim, always a pleasure. We certainly appreciate it. Going to chat with you soon, okay?
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. That's Jim Polzin, the Wisconsin State Journal, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus, they're going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.